T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Week 11 in the National Football League. So for your fantasy weekend, it could be your stretch drive or you may be buried and you may need to play daily fantasy. Either way, Dave Richard of CBS is here to help us out. Dave, Evan Roberts, how are you?
What's up, Evan? Good to hear your voice, man.
Well, good to hear your voice. Let's start off with the most confusing thing in fantasy, and that's Taysom Hill. All right. Number one, Taysom Hill should not be starting, okay? I don't know if you agree with me, but give me a break. Jameis Winston should be the starting quarterback. First of all, do you agree with that statement?
I don't, actually.
What?
I saw Jameis Winston play last week, and he looked like the Jameis Winston of old. Looked like a total mess. He was off target on a bunch of throws.
What is Taysom Hill? What's Taysom Hill as a quarterback?
Listen, we don't know, but I'll tell you someone who should know, and that's Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And Sean Payton deserves a little bit of credit, Evan. He knows what he's doing. He's the one that reinvented Alvin Kamara. He's helped Drew Brees stay in the league longer than anybody thought he would. He's pretty good at this football thing.
I know.
I'm more than happy to give him the benefit of the doubt. And so now we've got this really interesting hybrid player taking over under center. And we've never really seen him take on a big passing role in the NFL. And I can't say I blame him for that. He's playing behind Drew Brees.
Right.
But let me tell you how I got sold on Taysom Hill, because if you go to my rankings on CBSSports.com, he's in my top 12.
Wow.
I got sold on Taysom Hill because I went back and I watched his film at BYU last night. My wife is begging me to, like, come hang out with her, and I can't do it because I'm addicted to football, and I'm watching Taysom Hill play, and there's some parts of Taysom Hill's game that I'm still a little skittish on, but he's got some arm velocity, dude. He can get the ball downfield better than some other quarterbacks in this league. And we know that he's mobile. Like, the one thing that we've seen from Taysom Hill is that the kid, he's not really a kid. He's 30 years old. He can run.
Yeah.
So he can avoid the pass rush. He's going up against the Falcons defense that is ranked first in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. I think that he's got a shot to have a good game and potentially the type of game that we were expecting from Lamar Jackson.
Well,
when this season started.
Here's the thing, Dave, because you bring up a couple of fair points. Number one being, Sean Payton knows what he's doing. I will give you that. And number two, if Taysom Hill, who's thrown, I think, 18 passes in his NFL career, I think that's the total.
That's the number.
Okay.
Yep.
If he goes out and puts, even against the Falcon defense, and he goes out and puts together a hell of a performance, I'll be the first one saying, boy, Dave Richard was right. What an idiot I am. Sean Payton knows what he's doing. So I am definitely ready to admit my mistake. Now, from a fantasy perspective, there are some sites that are listing Taysom Hill as a tight end, which is, I mean, if that's the case, it's a no-brainer. He's just starting tight end. You'll get quarterback points out of it. What is the deal with his status around the fantasy universe right now?
So some sites had him as a tight end because they figured, well, he lines up the most as a tight end. And if you went back and look coming into this season, he did. It's true. He played some at quarterback, too, and Drew Brees would come off the field or line up as a receiver. But Taysom Hill played a lot at tight end. So some websites took the position of, well, he's a tight end because that's where he lines up.
Right.
We have always fought that type of thinking. Because Alvin Kamara lines up at wide receiver, does that mean that I can use him as a wide receiver?
Right.
Lamar Jackson will run the ball a ton. Does that mean that that I can use him as a running back instead of a quarterback? That's not the case. We always like to go by what the teams say. And in this case, the team says he's our quarterback. He's our backup quarterback. Maybe he's our gimmick quarterback, but a quarterback nonetheless. Now, what's really interesting is that in daily fantasy, Evan, on DraftKings, you can only start him as a quarterback. But on FanDuel, you can only start him as a tight end. And he's under $5,000 of the salary on both sites.
Wow.
If you're playing on FanDuel, first of all, if you're not playing on FanDuel, this is the week to do it so you can get Taysom Hill as your tight end. And if you are, you're going to be like everybody else on the planet. You're going to start Taysom Hill at tight end this week because all he has to do, if he gets 100 yards passing and a touchdown, that's 8 points alone. And you know he's going to get more than that. You know he's going to run with the football too. So he's going to produce. He's going to outproduce pretty much every tight end on the board.
Oh yeah, I mean he's going to be insanely. That's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. If he qualifies at tight end, you take advantage of it. How about the effects on the rest of the roster? We've seen Michael Thomas come back. Hasn't been huge production, but at least he's out there on the field. How do you see kind of the ramifications of Taysom Hill at starting quarterback on the rest of the Saint offense fantasy-wise?
So this is where my rankings don't match what I'm about to say, but they will. You can count on me coming through on that. Right now, Michael Thomas ranked outside of my top 24 wide receiver. I'm going to move him back in there, but he's going to be a number two receiver, a guy who's going to be closer to 20th than, say, 10th. And we all drafted him expecting him to be first. I went back and I watched his film too, Evan. And usually when a player comes back from a high ankle sprain, you might see a hitch in his step. He might be a little bit slower in and out of his breaks, not running at 100%. If Thomas isn't playing at 100%, he's fooling me. He looks good. He's cutting out. His routes look fine. He's running hard. I think he can be a fine receiver. And if there's one thing that we learned from Jameis Winston taking over last week, Jameis threw 10 passes. 5 of them went to Michael Thomas, including 2 in the end zone. They weren't necessarily near Michael Thomas. Like, he wasn't, you know, he's not 9 feet tall. And he doesn't have a 95-inch wingspan, so he can't catch these passes that Jameis is throwing. That's why Jameis isn't starting tomorrow. But I think Taysom Hill will know enough to throw at Michael Thomas. And based on the film that I saw at BYU and a little bit in the pros, I think Taysom Hill will be able to get the ball to Thomas. It's just a matter of whether he can do it 10-plus times. I mean, the magic of Michael Thomas was that he was getting 10-plus targets from Drew Brees, and Brees is accurate. So you know that those targets, they have a chance of all getting caught. This is going to be a little different, but it wouldn't surprise me if he had 6 or 7 catches, which we really haven't seen. We haven't seen much of Thomas anyway, but now we could see him do that. I think Jared Cook is the same type of touchdown or bust type of fantasy tight end. If you're really stuck, you can go with Emmanuel Sanders. And no one's worrying at all about Alvin Kamara. In fact, the bottom line is that running quarterbacks help their running backs.
Oh yeah.
And I think that this is going to be that perfect situation where the Falcons now have to account for Taysom Hill as a runner. And if they do zone reads or RPOs or screens or whatever, I mean, Alvin Kamara should have a field day.
Yeah, you have to think it benefits him. We're talking to Dave Richards. So DeAndre Swift is out. Should we go old school with Adrian Peterson? Could this be an old school kind of afternoon for Adrian Peterson against the Carolina Panthers?
Kate, can you believe it's 2020 and we're still talking about starting Gronk and Antonio Brown, and now Adrian Peterson is in the mix, but I'm with it. Because the matchup is great. Carolina is ranking 5th in fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs. And while over the last 2 weeks, I've been tracking the Lions running backs pretty much since their bye. The last couple of weeks, we've seen Kerryon Johnson play more than Adrian Peterson, but he's still not getting even as many touches as Adrian Peterson. And they were both getting wiped out by Swift. So now Swift is out. I expect Adrian Peterson to be the running downs guy for the Lions. And then Kerryon Johnson takes over in passing situations. And I think it's going to be a competitive game. I think he's a number 2 running back this week. Another good DFS play. Taysom Hill and Adrian Peterson in your DFS lineup. Where do I sign up to get my $1 million with those two going? I think Adrian Peterson, though, does have a chance at, let's keep it modest, 60 yards and a touchdown. I think he can get there against the Panthers.
Interesting. We're talking to Dave Richard, fantasy football, as we get set for week 11. They're off this week, but Wayne Gallman has been, you know, he had a pretty good fantasy week last week, scored 2 touchdowns. What's your feeling on him moving forward, Wayne Gallman with the New York Giants?
As long as Devontae Freeman stays away, and I think he's on IR, so he's going to miss a couple more games. I think this is the guy the Giants should ride with for the rest of the year as they're running downs back. Again, he's not going to get every single touch. I think that's a smart move that the Giants are making. And he's got these moments where he looks electric. He looks great. And then he's got moments where the offensive line lets him down. And he's, getting a carry, and then he's getting walloped by a defensive tackle. I think the big key is that the offensive line for the Giants, whatever they're doing, they're mixing and matching, it's working. Those players are playing better. They're opening up lanes for Gallman, and Gallman doesn't need a lot of space. That's one of the advantages to him compared to somebody like Saquon. Saquon's a monster. Wayne Gallman's a lot leaner. So he doesn't need a lot of space to find that crease, hit the hole, and pick up some yardage. I think he can be a usable fantasy running back until he proves to us that he's not.
So week 1 of this season, one of the hottest guys to bid on was Nyheim Hines, had that huge fantasy day against Jacksonville, even though they lost. And after that, it was very blah, blah, blah. 2 of the last 3 weeks, he's had huge performances, including last week against the Titans, where he had like 25, 26 fantasy points, depending on the site. What do you feel about Naya moving forward? They got the Packers, they got the Titans, they got the Texans after that, but two of the last 3 weeks he's put up huge fantasy numbers. What about Naya Hines right now?
That schedule, Evan, is outstanding for a running back. And as excited as I would get about Naheem Hines, I've got to be real. He's not an every down type of running back. He's never been. I don't think this coaching staff considers him to be that. And they are dying for their top rookie, Jonathan Taylor, to get going. Fantasy managers are dying for that to happen, too.
Sure.
Because when I watch him play, and this has been going on for about a month now, it looks like he takes an extra second to process where he's going. He's thinking. He's not playing freely. And some running backs, when they get in the NFL, guys like James Robinson, man, they're not thinking. They're just going. And in the case of Jonathan Taylor, he's thinking a little bit. And I'm a little disappointed in how the Colts are deploying him more as a pass catcher. Because when they've done that, and he's running on the edges, he's a bull in a china shop running against these cornerbacks. They're smaller than him. He can run them over. I would think that they would be a little bit more creative in how they're using Taylor. But the truth is, they're not certain that he can be a feature guy because he's still processing probably at a college level. And he needs to process at the pro level. And so with Jordan Wilkins being just a guy, I expect, this is my assumption, I haven't talked to anybody in Indianapolis about this, they wouldn't tell me anyway, that Taylor and Hines are going to be the two main guys in this offense. And we could see Taylor start against Green Bay, and we could see him score. They trust him in short yardage situations, but I'm not certain that it's going to be Naheem Hines getting 20 touches and being the lead guy. I think it's a little risky in non-PPR and half PPR to go with Hines, but in full PPR, you can't resist. And the one thing that we do know about his role, Evan, is that Naheem Hines is the passing downs running back. They've said it for years in Indianapolis. He's their guy. The two-minute drill, when they're playing from behind, he's the one on the field. And they're playing Green Bay. There's a chance they'll be playing from behind.
Yes, a very good chance. Defensively, what kind of defense would you jump at this week?
I love the Dolphins if you can still get your hands on them. I think defenses like Cincinnati and Detroit, they've got a good matchup. I wouldn't want to commit to them if I didn't have to. Cleveland's another one. People were excited to get them because Carson Wentz is turning the ball over like crazy. But now Myles Garrett is hurt. It's a tricky week with defenses. I would almost tell you, I almost would rather tell you the defenses to stay away from, which are Indianapolis. Great, you know, they're playing great, but the Packers' offense is really good. The Rams, they're going to play Tampa and Tom Brady. I think Brady's actually going to have a pretty good game. And the Falcons, they had started to get hot. Let me give you one that I think could be good for the rest of the season, the Vikings. They've got Dallas this week. We know their offensive line is Swiss cheese, and they started to play a little bit better over the past 2 or 3 weeks. And Mike Zimmer will get them going a little bit. They don't have big-name guys on the D-line. Their pass rush is still a big question mark. But I could see them, certainly up the middle, they're a stout defense. I could see them playing well. I think they've given you at least 12 fantasy points the past 2 weeks. And the Cowboys, they're giving up big points to DSCs every week because their offense is so bad.
Looking at the schedule the rest of the way, because we're really at the par. I mean, how many weeks do we really have left before the fantasy playoffs, depending on your league?
Week 14, usually. Yeah, usually yeah. It's week 14.
I mean, we're basically there, and we got a few more weeks. Looking at strength of schedules, how would you kind of put the top four or five wide receivers, especially based on who they're facing over the next few weeks?
You know, it really depends on – I don't have the schedules in front of me, and I don't really know. The problem is that when you look at the top four or five receivers in the NFL, are you really going to sit Davante Adams or Julio Jones because they're taking on, you know, the Colts? Like, I think statistically the Colts are the toughest defense. Or Washington, that's another one. Like, I don't get this. Like, Washington's defense ranks very high against quarterbacks, but they're not really that good. And Matt Stafford kind of beat them up last week, and they were experimenting with their defensive coverage. They were doing things in that game that they hadn't been doing all year. So I don't necessarily buy in. It's one of the reasons why I'm kind of a big fan of the Bengals passing game this weekend. I think they could be pretty good. So when it comes to the sub receivers, like Tyreek Hill, no one's covering Tyreek Hill. He's going to be amazing. It's really more about those fringe receivers. The guys like the Rams receivers, I don't know how people can feel comfortable starting Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp this week because they've got Tampa Bay. And right. That's a pretty good defense. They've got a great pass rush. Their left tackle's missing. Jared Goff turns into a baby every time that the pass rush comes down on him. And Josh Reynolds is starting to take work away for both Woods and Kupp. I can't feel good about starting those guys. So it's those fringe receivers that I look at where I go, uh-oh, maybe the schedule might not be good, but also their situation's not as good as I thought it was either. And you can't trade them You can't get him away. A lot of trade deadlines have already passed.
Yep. No, you're right. Dave, great talking to you. We appreciate it. We'll see how Taysom does this weekend. I'm curious.
I look forward to hearing from you on that. I'm sure I'll get a text or a tweet or something. Hey, Taysom Hill, look at that.
Yeah, when Jameis Winston is the quarterback in the third quarter, you'll hear from me. I'm just kidding.
That's when I'll be shutting down Twitter for the day.
Exactly. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
Be good, Evan.
Dave Richard, CBS. We'll see. I'm very skeptical of Taysom Hill. And I get the argument because Dave used it. Craig used it. Come on, Sean Payton must know what he's doing. Yes, Sean Payton is a tremendous NFL head coach. So is Bill Belichick. Doesn't mean he's nailed the drafts the last few years. All right, before we go to break, significant NBA news, and it impacts the Knicks. Fred VanVleet is going to re-sign. That is according to Shams Charania. And that was what you kind of thought and believed. But Fred VanVleet has agreed to a four-year, $85 million deal with the Raptors. There is a player option on year four. And by the way, that's about $21 million a year. No-brainer. Like, I would have done that contract five times till Thursday if I was the New York Knicks. But it's not the Knicks' fault. I mean, Fred VanVleet wanted to get paid, and he probably wanted to stay in Toronto or Tampa Bay for half a year. So it was always going to be an uphill battle. But here's what the Knicks have done so far that's very smart. They haven't done anything stupid. I'm serious. We have seen free agents that they're interested in, a few of them. Malik Beasley was one. I think they made an offer for him. I'm sure they made an offer for Fred VanVleet. They've been in on Gordon Hayward, though he hasn't signed yet. They haven't done anything dumb. Look, if they can't get the free agents that they were targeting, it's not the worst thing in the world to load up on one-year contracts. It's not because, A, especially if they're the right fits, like Alec Burks happens to be, it can help you win in the short term. And B, if that guy plays well, you could flip it for a first-round pick. So look, I always thought VanVleet was a long shot, but he would have made sense. And he's going back to the Toronto Raptors. So now what are we waiting on? We're waiting on Gordon Hayward. AD's going to re-sign. There's nothing there. And in my case, I'm waiting big time on Serge Ibaka. We'll see if he makes some kind of decision in the next hour and a half. Either way, your call's coming up. Plus, I'll finally get to it. Nolan Arenado, one of the big baseball trade targets this offseason. A lot of talk about, well, can he play away from Coors Field? We'll examine it coming up in a little bit.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.